Hello, this is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from South Central Washington State, and it's good to be with you today. We're going to discuss today, we're going to be in the book, last half of the book of Ephesians again, and it one of the subjects is the old man and the new man. What a perfect timing for that, because this is a new year. Got some good news and bad news, at least what I see on the horizon. One thing is the bad news is that I see ahead that looking forward that Obama will probably get most anything he wants, and so we need to pray for him for wisdom and that he doesn't overreach, because he'll probably get just about anything he wants. And so with the United States, because of their hurt and their pain, will give away much of their freedoms, even much more than they've had before. Sort of like the first depression, or the one that we know of that our parents or grandparents lived in, that there was a great shifting of autonomy towards the federal government with FDR's first term and through his administration. And so there's going to be a far more reaching turn of our freedoms once again. Another sort of down note is that United States will no longer be the leading power in the world as far as economically. They have lost that, and I believe in the future no longer will the dollar be the main currency. It'll be a basket of currencies, and since three other financial centers are much stronger than the United States, Wall Street. Wall Street is also ran now, and will be probably continually for at least the foreseeable future of 50 to 100 years. The good note is that for anybody that might be looking at their, I don't have a 401k or anything like that, but I have noticed that there is, as of, it was September 2nd, the day after Labor Day, or maybe that wasn't Labor Day, it's September 2nd, that the composite made what I see is that day was the beginning of the downturn. There's a technical factor there that I have found that is fairly reliable, or quite reliable. And that on December 30th, the 31st, actually, it broke into good ground for the first time since September 2nd, and that presented a buy signal. And we see that the day afterwards, day after New Year's, that it jumped up quite a bit after it hit that buy signal. And so this is the first, we experienced the first full day of something good. I don't have basically anything to speak of in the market, but I've over the years always been interested in cycles, and because the Bible speaks of cycles, of things turning from one way to another, and things will repeat themselves. And you see various length cycles throughout our economy, whether it's an 18-and-a-half-year cycle, 70-year cycle. There's all sorts of different cycles. But I think at least temporarily for the next several months till maybe beginning of summer that we are probably in a good upward cycle for that will hopefully bless many of you. Well, today we're going to talk about something much more important, and that is the Word of God. And the Word of God comes to us today. We're in the New Testament, which is the last one-fourth of the Bible. And about in the middle of that, in the book of Ephesians, we just started last week in the last half of that. The first half dealt with many of the blessings and the position of one that believes in our Creator and believes in Jesus Christ. And then the last half deals with many of our responsibilities. Well, we were just finished with verse 12 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. And we'll just revisit the last as far as a couple verses before that. So let's get into it right now. And what we see here is in verse 11 and 12 is that when it talks about back earlier in the chapter about Jesus, as far as Christ ascending into heaven, but that also that when he did, he gave gifts to man and gave gifts basically to his church. Now, in the Bible, we see different sets of gifts given by God, a certain set by God the Father, another set by God the Son, and another set by God the Holy Spirit. And they're for different purposes. The gifts that Jesus gave was more for administration and body. The Holy Spirit are all miraculous gifts. The ones that Jesus Christ gave was the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. And why did he give those? It says in verse 12 of chapter 4, it's for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, what is this equipping? It's to recover wholeness. I read to you some notes out of, I think it's called the Spirit Life Bible, and so I'll be sharing a little bit out of that. Most of what I'm going to be reading is not out of, it's out of a translation called the New King James Version, and I'll be reading both out of that and then occasionally even some of the notes there as well. And so equipping implies recovering wholeness as when a broken limb is set and mends. It's as a physical member is properly operating. And so things are working together right. It says, the work of the ministry is the enterprise of each member of the body of Christ and not the exclusive charge of the leaders. So it's not just talking about leaders, it's talking about a whole, because leaders aren't any good unless, if you like the saying, old saying is, if you think you're a leader and you turn around and nobody's following, you're just out taking a walk. You're not a leader. And so, are people looking to you to lead? Well, we all lead in certain ways. There are natural leaders, but first of all, we need to lead ourselves. And then those that are close to us. And just see what God has for you and for me. So let's look a little bit further along this. The work of the ministry, as far as when it mentions that, and the edifying of the body of Christ in verse 12, we see that there's a progress. We're going to start talking about in verses 13 through 16, a progress of maturity. So let's go there. So it says, the reason for these gifts of these people is for the equipping of the saints, is for the work of the ministry, and is for the edifying or the building up, the strengthening of the body of Christ. Well, when we say body of Christ, what in the world does that mean? Is that just some term or what? No, it means that all those that believe in a creator, that those who love God and that you might be built up and strengthened in him. So let's go on in verse 13. Tell, so this is, it's for this purpose that these gifts are not for, as far as I know, aren't forever. They are for the equipping of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Tell, so there's, tell a certain time. It says, until we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, which is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now we speak again, once again, that these things that Paul speaks, he starts saying something, and his sentences are longer than anybody else that I know of in the Bible. And so to understand things, we've got to take it and look at some of the phrases instead of, we might go ahead and read a sentence, but a sentence might be several verses. So we've got to go back and check some of this out. We look here and see that what are we looking for? We're looking for a progress in maturity, in some stability. We're looking for integrity. We're looking that there might be a taking place in every individual's experience, that there's that they become whole and grow up. So this isn't just talking about a numerical expansion, even though that's also taking place as far as the body of Christ, but it's edifying, which is an eternal strengthening. Now, isn't that something that you and I both need? We need God's internal strengthening of us this coming year. And so we look to God. We look to him. So let's briefly go over this again. What does it say that this equipping and this work of the ministry and the edifying, what is it for? It's till we come into unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So it's a matter of coming in as far as, okay, how do we come into faith? Well, we know that according to the Word of God that each one of us has been given a measure of faith. So it must mean more than that. It must mean that we're using that faith. Just like Jesus said that faith is as a mustard seed. And what does the mustard seed do? Any seed, if it is planted and it grows, well, that's what it does. It grows and becomes larger and larger and larger. So we got to use what was given to us. So whether you have neglected, whether I have neglected the faith God gave us, that and it's dormant, well, it needs to get someplace where it's well watered. Well, so it's not in a dry place where it cannot germinate. Well, one place where it can germinate and take life, seemingly it's dead maybe, is in the Word of God. And you can't just come to the Word of God and say, okay, I'm going to read this, and well, if you just read this within and of yourself, life may not come. It says one thing about faith that, and the Word of God has to be mixed with faith or else it profits nothing. So that measure of faith, you've got to use it. You've got to mix it with the Word of God. You've got to mix the Word of God with faith back and forth. And see what, and you're coming to your Creator and crying out to Him. You say, God Almighty, if there is a God, reveal yourself to me this day, or reveal yourself to me this year. that my heart might be opened, that I, my ears and eyes might see and understand. So you come in a joyful expectation. You're taking that little bit of faith that you may not even know that you have and saying, God, put me in a place that I can be well watered, and that faith can be germinated, that it might grow like that mustard seed, which is so far, I've seen mustard seed, and it's basically, I can't see it. It's sort of like almost a fine powder. It's so small. It's talked about as being the smallest of seeds, and that grows into a great bush that the birds will nest in. And so we take that seed, that little bit we have, that you have and I have, and let's water it by the word of God. With several times that either Jesus or other people by the Holy Spirit speak about the word of God being what cleanses, that washes us. And sometimes we need to be washed and cleansed of lots of junk in our lives. And so, it's so good if you've been out in the dust storm or working hard and sweating, and you swept and you got dirt all over you. It's so good to come in, get a shower and be washed clean. Such refreshing and just the cleansing, especially, of course, now it's during the winter, but during the summer months, you go out in the orchard or in the field, or you just play hard, whether you're working hard or playing hard. You get sticky, stinking, and and dirty. And that fresh water is a cleansing. And so there's a refreshing by that. Well, God wants to refresh you this year. He wants to make a difference in you this year. He wants to give you new life and fullness of joy. He talks about what he desires for us is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, that sounds a lot better than the mundane and doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for different results. No, we have to come and take that little bit of faith. We've got to mix it with the Word of God. And we have to cry out to our God and Creator and say, if you really exist, open yourself and reveal yourself to me. If you exist, reveal yourself. If Jesus Christ is your Son, reveal that. If there is a Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and draw me to God, my Creator. Holy Spirit, if you exist, I ask you to open up the Word of God that it might be revealed and go into my heart and give me new life. You talk about new life in your Word. I want to see that. I don't want to settle for what I've had this last year. So this is speaking to those that know God and those who don't know God. We don't want to settle and be complacent about where we are or where we have been. We don't want to look back at some previous time and say that was great or that was bad either way. As Paul the Apostle says, let's forget those things which lie behind and press on toward the high calling in Christ Jesus. Well, maybe you don't even believe in Christ Jesus now, but just say a high calling of God your Creator. And be open to, if he reveals himself to you, to accept Jesus Christ, to come into a place of saying that whoever God you are, I want you. I want to be aligned with you. I want to know you and the hope of your calling and your love for me. So let's look again at the Word of God with that perspective. So you see, God, Jesus Christ, gave us these people. What does it say? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, how can that happen? Well, we see it in the scripture that how can we come to the stature of Jesus Christ? Well, we can't individually. We do it as a whole, and it says that it's done through the Holy Spirit. It says that the one of the things is the ministries of the Holy Spirit in us is to change us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. In other words, into the image of God. You see, Jesus Christ said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So you know what the Father looks like as far as maybe not his physical looks, but as far as his will and desires and his compassion, and that if we know Jesus Christ, who's been revealed to us, then we know that his Father is like him. He's not different from him. He's like him. So if we want to know our Creator, then we need to know Jesus Christ. And the only way we can really know him is by the Holy Spirit and the washing of the Word of God. Well, that's what we're doing today. We are beginning to wash ourselves by the Word of God. It says that here that we no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Boy, we've got to stop there. All of us, myself, each one of us, we have to be careful right there. Sometimes we know the truth and we certainly don't speak it in love. We speak it, but it's more to prove a position or something. Or let me tell you something. It's a wrong attitude. This is talking about speaking the truth in love. So in other words, it's healing. If it's in love, it's healing. If it's in love, it's edifying. If it's in love, it's building up. If it's in love, it's equipping and strengthening. As far as equipping, that's making one go not only feel better and be better, but then changing one from one level to another, that the person's able to do so much more because of the equipping of the person. So that's what this speaking the truth in love is. So we don't want to just speak what we think is the truth, but we have to remember who. Several times Jesus' description of Jesus Christ was that he was full of grace and truth. Well, when there's grace, that's not only forgiveness, it is giving us something we don't deserve. What is that? Well, that means it has to be love. You see, love goes way beyond. It forgives and forgets that past wrong and turns around and gives in its place a blessing, even though not only was the sin not remembered or canceled, but in its place a blessing was given. Well, that's the power of God for you. That's the power of God that can change your life and my life. This is a new year. Today's every day is a new day in Jesus Christ. Well, we need to come to God our Father, our Creator, who loves you so desperately, so greatly, so much that he doesn't want to leave you just where you are. He wants to take you to a higher level. Well, what does that require? It takes equipping. In other words, it's not just building up, strengthening, encouraging, but then equipping, which is training. Well, where do we get training? We get training by the Word of God. So we need to come to the Word of God. Can we learn it just by reading it? We can learn a little bit, but it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal those things and make those things real to you and to me. So we need God involved to change our hearts and get us ready. You see, the Pharisees of the Old Testament at the time of Jesus, they knew the Old Testament. They knew the Word of God. They had memorized the Word of God. I don't know if there's anybody today that has memorized the whole Bible. Well, several of these Pharisees had memorized pretty much to be part of the Sanhedrin, you had to have memorized at least the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Pentateuch or the Torah. And but then they, many of them, would also have gone on and memorized all the history and the prophets as well. So they were very learned people. They had the letter of the law, but the spirit and the power of God was not in them. And it was unfruitful to them because it wasn't mixed with faith. You see, that's the only place in the Word of God it talks about the Word of God returning, that it was void. It says the return void, it doesn't go forth void except when it's not mixed with faith. So we don't want things to be void in our life, that to come to no end, to come to a disastrous end or a no end, no good end. We need to have our lives mixed with faith, with the power of God in us, and that comes by the Holy Spirit. Well, how does the Holy Spirit come? We have to surrender our lives to God. Well, how do we do that? Well, there's only two types of people in this world, those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. Don't leave earth without being saved. So the question I have for you right now is, which are you? Are you one of those that is already saved and you know it? Or are you one that's about to be saved and you're ready? I just ask you to repeat this after me right now. That's right. Say it out loud so you can hear it with your own ears. Loud enough so you can hear it with your own ears. Say this. And we understand from the Bible, you see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we speak the Word of God and we actually not just read it, but we speak it out loud. This is how faith comes. So we mix two things. We mix what we're saying out loud and we mix it with what we believe in our heart. So how do we get that? Well, how do we get that in our heart? We have to see the Word of God. We have to hear the Word of God. We speak it and it gets down in our heart. Then the Bible says that out of the heart the man speaketh. You see, if things get down in our heart, then things will come out. What happens when you smash your thumb or your finger with a hammer or something else? What comes out your mouth? Do you yell out some profanity or do you yell out, praise the Lord, or hallelujah? And you might be in tremendous pain, but there's a gradual change. Who does that changing? It is the Holy Spirit that does that changing in you. Okay, I ask you right now to repeat this after me. Say, go ahead, speak it out loud. Father, forgive my sins. That's right, you're calling out to your Creator right now. Father, forgive my sins. Then say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me the kind of person that you want me to be. Thank you for saving me. So where's Jesus right now? You see, if you mix what you said out loud with, if this is in your heart as well, it says that you shall be saved. It says, the Word of God says that we believe unto righteousness, and confession is made unto salvation. So we have to move the two things together. We have to believe, which will bring about righteousness, but it doesn't get us saved. We have to use both together. We mix the Word of God with faith, and it profits us. If we don't mix it with faith, the Word of God does not profit us. And we want, if we're going to spend time in the Word of God, we want it to profit you and profit me. So we need to mix it with faith. God has given you that faith. as Paul spoke to Timothy, said, stir up the gift that is within you. Maybe you have never stirred up that gift, but God has given you faith. Now it's time to stir it up. Whether it's already stirred up and you have a relationship with him or not, stir it up some more. Let's grow it. Let's equip the saints. Let's build up. We want to be equipped and built up for more things. We don't want to stay in our old habits. We want change to come. We want to accomplish more. We don't want to be ever settled where we are. We can be happy and content, but not contented so much that we want to stay where we are. We need to have the Spirit of God in us that we know God is a God, even though that he changes not, that he encourages and wants his creation to change and grow up in him, so that we constantly are allowing him into more of our lives. That more and more can be accomplished in and through us because we love him and we draw close to him. So we come back to what this is saying here. But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. So you see here that each part has to work together. You see, we're not going to be complete. Your loved ones aren't going to be complete without what you share and help to build them up and strengthen them. So it is with me and you, is that this word of God is true. So we need to speak to ourselves this word of God in truth and in love and in grace and declare it over our own lives. And then we also turn around because of his love. We speak it and declare it over those that we love. And he even tells us to forgive and speak it over our enemies. You speak it over your enemies, it can release a force and a blessing on them that can change people's lives, so much so that who was once your enemy might become your friend, and that you might be built up and better and more edified than you ever were before. See, God is a God that he talks about building up this faith, that there might be a unity of the faith. That was in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. So that's what God wants us to be, built up to be a perfect man. So we see that each part of the body does its share. And if what it does when each part of the body does its share, it causes the growth of the whole body and the edifying of itself in love. So you are to edify yourself. You're supposed to speak the word of God, blessings over yourself. If God declares blessings over you, then you better grab hold of those blessings and speak them over yourself. Don't just, oh, I wish that were true. Oh, I hope that's true. You're not participating with him then. You need to say, okay, if this is God's word, then what's his word is true, then I'm going to declare it over myself. What's happening there? The word of God is taking root in yourself, and life and power are changing you once we start speaking it and declaring it. And it comes not just like a rote or a thing that you just have to do or a memorized thing. But it can start out there, but you need to realize there needs to be, ask God for a passion and a desire as well. Now let's go on. Verse 17. What's coming up, this next part? It says, in notes, it says, five traits of a worldly walk are summed up in the word futility. What is futility? It's emptiness. It's purposelessness. It's darkened understanding. It's alienation from God. It's ignorance of God's way. It's a hardened heart. It's an unfeeling state. Man, doesn't sound like I want any of that, does it? Do you want any of that? Man, we'll mention that again perhaps, but let's read this. Let's read, we're in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. Let's read this. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness." Ooh, man, there's a lot of junk there. And I'm sure we've all participated in that. And we have to fight against it. Well, how do you fight a thought? Well, you have to put a good thought in. You don't say, oh, well, I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to think about this. I'm not going to think about this. It's like me telling you, now don't imagine or don't think about a pink elephant. What happens all of a sudden just by saying that? You get a picture of a pink elephant. It comes to your mind. I'm not going to think about a pink elephant. I'm not going to think about a pink elephant. Well, you don't go by don'ts. You don't go by do's. Well, how do you replace a negative thought by positive thoughts? You don't try to stop thinking about negative thoughts. You start thinking about positive things, and you can't think about two things at the same time. We overcome darkness with light. We turn the light on. So when there's those negative things that come to us, we have to take an active role and say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to start thinking about other things. So we start thinking about things that the Word of God brings up that are positive and edifying, that's full of grace and mercy and faith. And so let's read this again. Here's a bunch of negative things, but let's look at these things. I'm sure we can all identify ourselves in just about every one of these from time to time. So we've got to know our enemy to be able to recognize our enemy. You see, we need to recognize those things in us that are wrong in order that when those things come up, that we can attack them in a way that overcomes them, that changes our life to the good. Well, this is the new year. This is the time for the old man, that the new man comes against the old man. And the old man is the way that we have been. It's the new man that we constantly come, when we come back to the Word of God and the teachings of Jesus, that those things can overcome those things in the old man. So let's see here. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind." Oh, we prize the mind so highly in society. Yes. The mind is good. God gave it to us. But when we rely only in that, then we got some problems, some serious problems. Okay, what's the futility of our mind? In verse 18 of chapter 4 of Ephesians, it says, "Having their understanding darkened." But they've been walking in their own mind, and because it's just in their own mind, their understanding becomes darkened, and it becomes alienated from the life of God. You see, when you trust only in yourself and only in your own mind, your mind becomes darkened. Your understanding, it says right here, becomes darkened, and it becomes alienated from God. It separates itself. It takes itself away. We want to hit the dead center mark. Well, this is making us shoot in the opposite direction. We're not even near the target. When we trust in our own mind and our own capabilities and our own understanding, we're not even shooting within the 90-degree area of the target. We're turning around 180 degrees away and shooting someplace completely opposite. So we're getting further away, not even closer. We're getting further away. When we trust in our own mind, it says here, having the understanding, our understanding is darkened, and we become alienated from the life of God. We don't want to do that. Oh, no. We don't want to be alienated from Him. We want the alienation taken away. We want to draw close to Him. But let's see what it says. It says, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That's what happens when we trust in totally our own mind. Now, God doesn't, He gave us that mind, but we're supposed to use it in conjunction with Him. Not separate, trying to do everything by ourselves. That just draws us further away. It says, because of the blindness of their own heart, who being past feeling. Have you been like that? I know I have. Gotten to a place that maybe you get hurt so bad that you just harden yourself so you don't get hurt anymore. Well, when you harden yourself so you don't get hurt anymore, you can't get any healing either. You can't get life and love and grace and mercy. You have to be open to it. There's a matter of guarding yourself, but then closing yourself off? I mean, we want to filter things out. Yes. But let's turn to the Word of God, how to filter things out rather than our mind to filter things out. What does God have to say? He's the one that we want to filter things through. We want to filter things through the Word of God. That will eliminate all the garbage. Don't try to do it yourself. Take that mind that He gave you, that gift of God that you may not have even acknowledged was a gift of God, that it was your own. Acknowledge that it was a gift from Him. And then come to Him, the Maker, and say, give me your instruction book so I know how to use it properly. Well, He gave us His instruction book. Let's look to the New Testament. Let's look to Jesus. He's the one that came down. He said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I only do those things which I see the Father doing. I just speak those things which He speaks. So here it's saying, furthermore, that those become past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Look at all those terrible things. First, they're blind. They have the futility of their mind. They've trusted in their mind only. Because of that, because they've truly and just used logic only without the power of God, that they have become futile, that they have become darkened. Their understanding has become darkened because they would only accept into their head what was logical, that they could only understand. God gave you that mind. But it wasn't to be cut off and limited. Don't limit God. Don't limit what He gave you. He loves you, and don't limit His gifts. His gifts are to grow. You see, he gave talents to men. Don't be like the man that took his talent and hid it in the ground and it never increased. Whether it's one talent, two talents, 10 talents, take those talents and invest them. You have to do a certain amount of risk that they might be greater. You see, what he spoke about, the one that just hid his talent in the ground, he said, "You're an unprofitable servant." Well, we need to take that mind of ours and not hide it in the ground. We need to use the logic, but use it along with faith and explore an entirely new world that God has for you. God has life and power and blessing and abundance for you. Don't limit God. Don't limit the one that loves you to show you his love and mercy. Oh, my people, he would cry out, "I love you. Don't limit me." We see that in the Old Testament, that this is one of the things that God said about the people of Israel, that they limited him, they limited God. And he was unpleased with them because they limited what God could do for them and bless them with. They limited God. Don't limit God. Turn to him. Start expecting things from him. Ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to be the Lord of your life. Ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit and power, that he might change you from glory to glory into his image. No longer that we live in the image of Adam. You see, Adam was created in the image of God, but everybody after that was created in the image of Adam. Well, that was after Adam fell. Well, we need to get back to the image of God. Well, that's only done through the second Adam, who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the holy, the one that loves and has great compassion and desire for you. Turn to God. Don't turn away from him. Don't say that my mind, I have to reason everything with my mind. Yes, use your mind, but use your mind by coming to God. So we see here all these things. Their mind has been, because they've relied in their mind, it's the futility of their mind. It's their understanding then becomes darkened. They don't understand things anymore because they have relied in logic and logic alone. Or what they feel, just what they feel. Some people are into logic, some people are into feelings. Well, neither one is the right way. God gave you both. But you've got to take both of those and mix them with faith. Because then that's the only way that there is real life. We see that they were alienated from life of God, the life of God. They became ignorant. Their ignorance that was in them. They're blind. They became blind. Their heart became hardened. They became past feeling. Some of you have become past feeling, but you're being stirred right now by the Holy Spirit and his power, and realize that you don't have to be there anymore. You don't have to go on with your heart being hardened. Even though you've been hurt by divorce or hurt by treachery or by partners or rape or incest or anything else, that you don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in that place of being hurt and devastated. You don't have to be in that place past feeling. Don't be given over to lewdness or uncleanliness or to total greediness. Some of us have tried to push that stuff out of the way and just decided to go in for greediness. Oh no, God has so much more for you. He doesn't want you to be separated from him. You see, as I said before, there's those who are saved and those who are about to be saved. Don't leave this earth being about to be saved. This earth, your time here determines your eternity. Turn to God. Ask Him to forgive your sins. Ask Him to come into your heart. Say to the Father, forgive my sins. Say to Jesus to come into my heart. Say to your Creator, make me the kind of person you want me to be. And be sure to thank Him. Thank Him for saving you. Let's go on to verse 20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, you don't learn Christ by just your mind, because you end up, if you do it just with your mind, it's a futile, your understanding becomes darkened, you're alienated from God, you become ignorant, you become blind, your heart becomes hardened, lewdness enters in, uncleanness enters in, greediness enters in, but you've not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Where is the truth? In Jesus. The Bible says over and over that when Jesus came into the world, He was full of grace and truth. Full of it. Where does truth come from? It comes from Him. Where does grace come from? Where does love come from? It comes from Him. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust. Now look at yourself. Look at myself. Isn't that true? That if we aren't seeking after God, that what is that former conduct in our lives? That old man. That old man, that old woman, that old child, whatever in us. It grows corrupt, putrid, stinking, whatever, according to the deceitfulness of lust. Because we desire things. We see in James it says that we need to ask God for things. And he says that because you don't have faith, you don't receive. And then also for those that some do start mixing faith with it, but they don't mix it when they're, it says that they don't receive because it's mixed with lust. So it's, in other words, lust is basically desiring something to ingratiate or to make yourself satisfy yourself. It has no thought for anybody else. It's, you see, things that fulfill your desires are okay if they're also a blessing to other people. So we want to fulfill desires, but are they a service to other people? Or are they to be consumed on our lust only? Well, this is bringing up that old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness. It's deceitful lust. And be renewed. This is the commandment of God for you and me. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Oh, well, that comes back to what we said earlier. The mind, the mind, the mind. The futility of the mind. Well, we don't want it to be futile anymore. So how do we get out of that? It says, be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Well, what does the word repent mean? Repent, as in most people just says, when Jesus said repent, we just think of turning around, going the other direction. But repent, where does repentance come from? That's the Greek word that's talking about the same as penthouse, which is to start thinking on a higher level than normal man can possibly think. So all of a sudden you're thinking on God's thinking level. So it's not just about turning around, going another way, or going the right way. It's starting to think like God thinks. Well, how do we begin to do that? We get to do that by the Word of God. We go to the New Testament. We see what, and ask the Holy Spirit to open it up to us. Now, this is important, that we don't only just go to the Bible, but that we pray to God that He open it for us. Because that is essential, is that you pray that you might receive from the Word of God. Don't come to it with your futile mind, but come to it with what this says, is renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. So we want to get rid of the old man. So this is a new year. It's time for the new man, right? Put on the new man or the new woman, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Oh, the new man. It's created according to God. Well, we were stuck with the old man. Well, how do we get the good man? The new man. Oh, it's created by God. So that means we have to come to God and ask for His forgiveness. We ask Jesus to come into our heart. That's where the new man comes. It's Jesus. As He said, that I am in my Father, and He is in me. And then He also says that you, my disciples, that I will be in you, and you will be in me. Oh. Oh. That's what the new man is. It's Jesus being in me. That's the new man. That you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. It was created according to God. So it's not something that I can do. I just have to come to God. I have to come to Him, ask Him for forgiveness. I have to ask Him to come into my life. I ask Him to come into my heart. I ask Him to make me, to change me from glory to glory into His image, so I become like, that start appearing like God, that when people see me, I start appearing like Jesus Christ. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to be. Wow. I want that. I want that. How do I get that? Oh, you say it's by asking for forgiveness? Okay, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for my sins. And you say to ask Jesus into my heart? Okay, Jesus, please come into my heart right now. Oh, and you say that I need to ask you to make me the kind of person you want me to be? Oh, yes, yes, yes. I want to be who you, my Creator, want me to be. That's exactly who I want to be. I want to be one with the universe. I want to be one with my God. And so I ask you now that I no longer be separated from you, but that you come in me and you take up residence in me and you live in me 100% of the time. I want that. I want you. I want that new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do it, Lord God. You are what I want. I love you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you, thank you, thank you for saving me. Oh, God, make me an instrument of your pleasure, an instrument of your blessing. Make me an instrument of your love. Oh, fill me with your Holy Spirit and power. That I might share that love, that others might know your love, that others might know that God loves them and that they don't have to walk in the futility of their minds anymore, that their minds as well can be renewed by the Spirit of God in their minds. Oh, praise God. Praise God. This is Dr. Don Cowan coming to you from Yakima, Washington. God bless you, and may this next year and the rest of eternity that you walk with God all the days of your life. God bless you. Bye-bye.